Hey, McCartney fans, welcome to episode 156 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk, a solo Beatles videocast where we talk all things solo Beatles. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler. He is Andy Nichols. Andy, what's going on, my friend?
Welcome back, brother. Good to be here.
Hey. Yes, another episode, another author, another books to talk about, and as you can see, we're joined by a special guest, and he is the creator, the author of this wonderful book series called Advertising the Beatles, Volume 1 and 2, and he is Ray Zirkle. Ray, what's going on, my friend? How are you?
Good. How are you guys today?
Great, good, thank you. Yes,
we're just cold here in the Midwest.
Yeah, we're cold.
It's that time of year. It's even a little chilly in Phoenix, but you know.
Yeah. Oh,
what is it? 60?
Yeah. my son actually worked for the Renfair. He goes from city to city, and I think he's in your town as we speak.
Oh, no kidding.
There's one right out. It's right outside of Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Okay, very cool. Yeah, so he's probably wearing shorts.
I keep hearing how warm it is out there.
Yeah. It's good. This is the right now is the reason why people come here to live. You know, right. November to March is like it's like the perfect weather. You know?
Yeah, 120 doesn't do it for me though.
No. You get used to it after 10 years.
We the wife and I actually honeymooned out there when we got married and
no kidding.
That was we stayed with some friends, and that I think that was enough for us.
Okay, fair enough.
Just 1 week.
Right.
Yeah. So I only lasted 5 days in Arizona, so that was it.
Yeah. Well, it's not for everyone, unfortunately. But Ray, again, welcome to the show, and we're going to be talking about, obviously, your books here. But first, tell us about your Beatles story. How did you get in, you know,
well,
first generation fan?
Goes back to wee little Ray. Yep. I had two older sisters. And so I'm pretty sure they were, I don't want to say obsessed, but they had a lot of their stuff constantly playing in the house. I inherited the 45s. And it just kind of went from there. My first, I can remember vividly, the first 45 I went and bought was Let It Be. Mm. So little record store we had right here by my house. And it just went from there. It slowly started to grow. I became a member of, I don't know if you guys heard of Strawberry Fields Forever, was a fanzine back in the 70s.
Yep.
Joe Pope. It gets a lot of street cred out there for his early involvement with the fanzines, and then they put on a convention in Boston. I was 14, and believe it or not, my parents let me go from Chicago to Boston.
Wow!
Mom was on the phone with Joe Pope saying he will be fine, right? He'll be fine. So. I went out there, and boy, I'll tell you, ever since then, and I started buying the memorabilia up, and the fanzine, they would send you they'd have a want, buy, and sell list on the back page. Mm. And I got my Hard Day's Night movie poster, $40.
Wow.
This is 1975.
Wow.
$40.
So still hanging out. Right. Were you also collecting solo stuff as it was coming out as well?
Yeah, I was a paper boy, so I always had money.
Yeah.
And so I'd run to the store, and there was a couple stores close to me that they would have, their bargain days, whatever. You could walk out with four albums for $20,
right?
You know, and so I was slowly picking up the solo, and then slowly filling in the Beatle catalog as it went along.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1978, I was already out on my own and working, and I was a messenger for a bank, and I was driving up in the Chicago suburbs twice a week, and I would come past this place. I'd look off to my left, and there's big over-the-door Capitol Records.
Mm. Nice.
So I pulled in one day and I said, do you guys need help? And the lady's like, well, sure, what can you do? And I'm like, anything. What, you know, she goes, can you drive a forklift? I said, absolutely. Never touched one in my life. Yeah, sure. So, you know, got in there and was stayed there 3 years. Part of your benefits was 2 albums per week.
Oh, wow.
So I got everything by the first year I was there. And then started, if I could go back in time, oh boy. You know, I'd bring home all those Pink Floyds and keep them all nice and sealed because yes. That was going for a fortune. Right. But, no, I filled in the Beatle catalog. I filled in a lot of my singles. When I was there, that big blue box set that came out in 78.
Yep.
The one that was numbered 3,300.
Yes.
Yeah. I got number 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You still have it?
No. No. I'm very, very, that was one of the few things that I'm very sad that I let go. I should have never sold that, but I did. What are you going to do? Can't go back and change it. That was a fun time. And then from there, it's just, you know, like the standard collector. Just if I find something and it's not an arm and a leg, I pick it up. I like the original stuff. I don't like too much after 1990.
Okay.
Maybe 80s stuff. It just depends on what it is, I guess. But so I tried
You worked for Capitol for 3 years then. Wow.
Yep.
That's awesome. So 78.
It was fun. It was
81. Yeah.
Yeah, they closed up their distribution in 81 and moved it down to Jacksonville, which I was lucky enough to tour once, which was kind of fun. Walked through there and watched the Beatles' Rarity album go from a glob of wax
to
a completed album. And the guy hands it to me, and then he takes it right back again. He says, oh, no. I said, well, what? You know, why? He goes, got to put that hole in it.
Wow. Right? So, Ray, is your fandom that it's so much that you can actually look pressing and know if it's Jacksonville or Scranton? You know, do you know
where the album? Well, and that kind of brings us now to what I'm doing now, which is I own my own record store. Mm-hmm. So you get very, very good with learning the inner wax markings. Right. And so you know what, because I do list a lot of things on Discogs. I'm sure you're familiar with Discogs.
Yep.
So you got to know what pressing you're looking at, and you know the Scranton, and the,
right? Scranton, Jacksonville,
got the big zero.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. So, it's like I said. So then he handed me back that Rarities album with the little punch hole, and then like literally 6 months later, I ended up working in the promo department punching those holes, which is a constant argument out there on Beatle Land. Those are cutouts, and everyone has a. Those are promos, folks. Promos with the hole.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I think I even have one of those. So you might have cut mine for me. Look at that. Wow.
Very possible.
Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny. So, you know, in your book, you talk about what's in the book, which we'll get to in a few minutes, is you talk about a lot of the stuff is from your personal collection. When did you start collecting? And I mean, because that's what these books really are. They're promotional stuff that ads. When did you start collecting that stuff?
Again, back when I was a teenager, I got obsessed with anything I found. I kept scraps. I kept cool ads. Like, you know, anytime I found something interesting, I would take it. I started these scrapbooks. Mm-hmm. And then when I was at Capitol, they were always leaving the Billboard magazines laying around. And this was kind of at the height when the whole Beatles thing was starting to make its comeback. So, you know, mid to late 70s. And the magazines we laid, I'd tear out all the ads and, you know, took them home and put them in my books. And then, I wasn't a big Billboard buyer, let's say. But if I found one out there on eBay, say for $10, and it looked neat, you know, I'd grab that one too. And then fast forward to around 2015, I think, I said, you know what? I better start getting those in a little nicer. I noticed some of the ads started going for a lot of money, and I mean crazy money. So I started buying up billboards when I could find them, And, you know, it's the probably the most expensive one I paid for was the one with, I'll show you real quick. The one with the Can't Buy Me This. This one was a tough one.
Okay.
Right there.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one. And the other nice one was the full page. It's a billboard with this is a part of a big inner ad.
I've seen that.
It opens up to a big a printout of the cover.
Right.
That was a tough one to get to. But so after a while I said, you know, I've got almost all of the releases. I couldn't find anything else. You know, like I said, even going back to some of the VJ ads, I was finding those. And I said, you know, maybe it would be kind of neat to put these in some kind of a thing for myself so that I had them and kind of keep them from, posterity.
Yeah.
So I did a self-published book. I just did one copy and got it back and showed it to people. And they were like, that's pretty interesting. It's no one's done that before.
Right.
I said, That's kind of the reason I did it, too. You got 8,000 books out. Well, a lot.
Right. Well, I mean, there's just so many books that now, on so many different topics, like it's almost hard now. It's almost impossible now to find something that hasn't been covered.
I've almost stopped buying some of them because do I really want to read their history again? You know, the only one that I really, truly enjoyed lately was the Lewison book.
Yeah,
of course, because that's the Lewison book. Because the one we've been waiting for.
It's the gold standard now.
It's the gold
standard. Yeah, if we ever get part two.
Right. Of course.
He's supposed to be at that Beatle Fest in April, right?
Yes, he is. Yes.
Is he really?
Okay. Yeah.
He's got a lot of explaining to do.
Yes, he does. Hey, Ray, if I may ask real quick to digress. So you were at Capitol from 78 to 81. Which means you were there when John passed away. Do you have any recollection of what?
Oh my God! You want a story?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'd love to because that's what was it like then? I mean, in terms
there was a distributor down the street from us called Sound Incorporated. They were another big, huge record place. Capitol, of course, didn't have the rights to that album. So I remember first of all running out that day, ran down the street, got my first, you know, the Starting Over and Double Fantasy rather. And my buddy was there. He gave me a nice stand-up thing for the 45.
Right.
Oh, it was such a great, great time. I mean, to hear him come back after that time, you know, the stories, the Yoko thing, I just don't know why people have such an issue with her. But whatever. Right. I mean, Grant, you know, I could listen to that album. There's maybe a couple of them, I don't, you know, that are kind of eh. But so it was a great time. I remember buying the Playboy magazine and literally reading that interview that afternoon after I got home from work, and then to have that phone call come through at 11 o'clock, and it was my mother-in-law, of all people, who was watching the news. I think we were into watching MASH reruns or something at that point. And so, you know, devastated like the rest of the world. I mean, I was up all night long. Maybe got an hour sleep at the most. Went to work, and after we all punched in, they all herded us into the office. Everybody's there, all the people picking orders. We got to get this product out. They've been calling all night long, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. That was like my first introduction to corporate greed. It was like, we got to get the, don't care about this guy was just murdered in front of his wife and family, you know, in front of his
right.
wife.
Well, the demand is going to be.
Yeah. Well, let's get that. Let's get those orders picked because blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And I secretly called the newspaper and told them that. they printed that. Oh, an anonymous employee said that they were getting overwhelmed with orders and blah, blah, blah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's true for just about everyone right now. I mean, these days, it's just like, you know, they're fans, but then they don't buy their product until they pass away. You know, I remember, you know, when like Prince died, you know, you go to, you know, a couple hours later, you go to Amazon and everything's out of stock. All
I know, or selling for a gazillion dollars. Michael Jackson's exactly. Thriller selling for $200.
Right,
and I can't
right.
give them away now for $15. So I don't get as many, you know, when people have been, you know, look who's been the most recent musicians. A lot of comedians, but not a lot of musicians.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But anyway, just over the past couple of years, I didn't get a lot of calls for Tom Petty. Mm. I didn't get a lot of calls even for, you know, some of the Glenn Frey, maybe one album. Right. I mean, the Eagles stuff will always sell, but anyway.
Right.
That's getting off track.
Yeah.
So anyway, the when I got the book done for myself, I started Googling publishers near me and thought maybe, just maybe.
Right.
And this lady in Milwaukee called me back. She says, yeah, can you bring it up and let me see that? And I said, sure. And she just had a little publishing house up there in Milwaukee, and she loved it. She's like, let's do this. And I'm like, really? Isn't it supposed to be harder than that?
Right. What was the name of the company?
Henschel House.
Okay.
Henschel House.
There you go. I got the sticker kind of over the title.
Oh. Yeah. So she was very nice. And, you know, she helped me touch it up a little bit, get me some better designs on a couple of spots and some grammar issues. I often write how I speak, which is not always right. the best.
Right.
It's not proper. So we got the first one out, and I'm probably about 350, 400 copies, somewhere like that.
Okay.
Not awesome. A tremendous amount. I didn't expect to set the world on fire, but people loved it. They liked it. I took it to Beatle Fest in Chicago that year. I didn't do anywhere else. Did maybe like 40 copies there. I did 40 copies before the thing was even, it actually paid for its own printing.
Hmm.
So, and then it's just been slowly but surely. And now that the other one's come out, this one is selling because people want the first one too.
First one, right.
So that's been kind of nice.
Let's talk about go ahead.
I was going to say, Tom, you found yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, when I picked this up a few months ago when we started, you know, talking about possibly, you know, coming on the show, looking through this first one, it just, you know, you're because, you know, I'm born in 73, you know, so I didn't get.
Oh, you didn't see any of that.
Yeah, I didn't get to see any of this except for photos here and there, you know, but it wasn't this extensive, you know, with, you know, from, you know, the Christmas. I mean, it's just. You know, just, you know, stuff like this from Yellow.
Isn't that awesome?
You know, yeah. You know, I just never would have seen anything like that.
And, and the whole thing is that if you didn't see that trade magazine that week, you're never going to see it again.
Right.
So unless you go and did what I did and hunt down those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, and which was it took a long time. This is probably, I don't know. Well, if you start even when I was young, it's a 20-year project or maybe more. But, you know, I don't look at it like that. I really started in earnest, you know, about 5 years or, well, no, about 7 years ago.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the difference between, you know, getting a publisher and then self-publishing.
And that's the thing. I had, even though she's a nice lady, I had no control.
Right,
I had
right.
no idea how many were selling. I had no idea how many Amazon orders. Every right. time I'd go on to Amazon, it would say, oh, 5 left, more coming. But right. I was never getting, it didn't seem like I was getting any royalties for the
residuals.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. She, again, nice lady. She even helped me with some stuff on the second one here, which she's going to get it onto the Amazon account for me, which I don't have to set up a whole thing with Amazon. She's going to throw it on her. It's just that maybe her bookkeeping wasn't what I would have liked it to be. Mm. And then, like I said, if somebody ordered a Kindle, how do you get paid for that?
Yeah.
Right. I have no idea. So this time I decided I was going to go and We were very lucky, ran into a little bit of cash this year, so I had enough to be able to get it done.
Because, yeah, you got to front the whole thing yourself at the, up front.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, you're taking all the risks for the
moment. Right now, I'm in the hole.
Right.
You know what? I'm sure things will be fine, as you know, because now I keep 100%.
Right, and it's right. All you. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that'll be a big difference there. Plus, I can, like I said, I can do what I have to do with it and advertise it the way I want to advertise it, and you know, whatever. But anyway, the company I used this time was called You Build a Book.
Okay.
And the reason being was their design program was probably the best and easiest one that I've ever used. Hmm. And You Build a Book.
You build it, because you build it.
You build it. And so then after I got it, during the pandemic was when I really went to town on it, because it was just, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, I sat here for days, you know, couldn't go into my store, you know, so I'm sitting here with nothing to do.
What's the, hold on, what's the name of your store?
Oh, Time and Again Records.
Okay.
We're just a suburb just south of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And 5 years now. I feel like I got over the hump. we were busy as all can be yesterday. I had my youngest customer so far has been 10.
Wow.
So that was me. That was my 10-year-old me going in to buy my Let It Be record.
Right. Well, we out here in Arizona, I just have so many record stores out here. It's crazy. And every time I go in them, I mean, I see all ages going in and flipping through records. You know, it's pretty, you know, crazy.
It's
now.
Been amazing to see the comeback, right. The turnaround. Yes.
Yeah.
I almost sold off my record collection about 7 years ago. I thought, maybe it's time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden I couldn't find work at one point.
Right.
After managing stores for 30 years and people and all that, and all of a sudden they didn't want a 55-year-old anymore. And so I said, I'm gonna open my own.
Right. There
and
you go.
Haven't used my personal stuff yet, but I feel when the time comes and I'm ready to just get rid of everything, I'll combine the store records, my records, and here's the key, pal.
Well, let us know when you want to sell some McCartney stuff.
Yeah, let us know. Give us an inside track. We'll check it out.
It's funny you say that, because I took in 4 sealed McCartneys yesterday, but they were the new ones, though. I mean, the record store day or the reissues. But the guy just came in with them. He's like, "Yeah, I don't need them. I have them already." I'm like, "Well, all right." So I took in a couple that even I didn't have downstairs. So, you know.
Oh, cool.
Chaos and Creation and New.
Right.
Was one of them. And Thrillington.
Yeah, the reissues.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Cool.
Got those available.
Well, getting back
like I said, then I decided to put part two together, which included, of course, all the Beatle items from 1970 up to Get Back.
Right.
And every time I turned around, there was something else was coming out. So I kept adding to it and adding to it.
Yeah. And see, then some of the stuff that you have in part two, I remember seeing now, you know, like ads for
the CD, the Beatles on. Yeah, right. The Beatles on compact disc. That was an awesome campaign. That was like, wow.
Look at those colors, though.
Right.
Beautiful. That place, I'm telling you, this place did such an awesome job on the printing.
Right.
So colorful. I was just so happy with it when I got it back.
Right.
The long boxes. Yep. That was all the long box artwork that they had, which is great. You know,
exactly.
And like I said, go to the last Beatle page, and right up there to the last. Right up to November 2021.
Right.
Yeah. I love the section. I love the section in Volume 2, Ray, on the anthology stuff from the 90s and all the advertisements about that. That were awesome, because that was my era. I was a teenager then in the 90s, so the anthology period for me was like awesome.
There you go. Right up.
Yeah, seeing those advertisements you had there, especially that, you know, it just took me back. It was awesome, you know.
Right.
ABC.
Well, good. And that's what I was. That's what I was kind of hoping for. Like I said, if you were, you know, that was your thing. Like, oh, this was where I really started collecting them, or whatever the case.
Yep.
And here's, you know, here's what they were showing for the. I mean, they were promoting it back then.
You've got.
But yeah,
You've got an advertisement in here for the 30th anniversary of the White Album, even, which was such a low-key
release
for
you. Yes, I remember that. I bought that.
Really. Wasn't it just a white case? Oops, sorry. I lost it. Hang on a minute. There you go.
Okay.
Wasn't it just a white page, if I remember?
Yeah.
That's it.
There might have been a couple of pictures at the bottom of it or something, right?
There was. Here we go.
Right, no, the 30th anniversary, I had a whole layout of the album.
Right here.
But I remember seeing another one at one time. It was just a white page, I think.
Right. You still have that, Andy, don't you?
I do.
What's that?
There you go. Right there. Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
So how do you like the biggest chapter in the whole book?
Paul McCartney chapter? Well, I'm loving it right now.
There we go.
He's put out a lot of stuff.
Right. So yeah, as collectors, you know, as people that want to try to find the stuff like this, now you have something to go by, and now you can see what your stuff that you can try to find yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I had so many. Oh, look at all those.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had every time I turn around, I was getting a McCartney head out of the billboard. Capitol, you know, they were kind of cheap in some ways, but in other ways they were very they promoted his stuff pretty well.
Okay.
It was Columbia too, once, you know, maybe they had a Columbia was doing okay with his stuff, but I think Capitol was probably a little bit heavier.
One of the reasons why he wanted to leave, one of the reasons why he left Capitol was because he felt that they weren't.
They didn't push London Town enough.
They didn't push the stuff enough.
I think to radio, yeah. I mean, there was plenty of advertisements. Just alone, I was just looking at the one he had. Well, let's see. He had a big sheet, of course, the big one for London Town.
There it is.
Yeah.
And then. There was other smaller, all of these, two pages full, are all London Town.
Love it.
So, anyway. Yeah. And they put out a lot of videos, too, from that album, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. There was three.
Why do you guys strictly focus on Paul, by chance?
Because he has had the greatest solo career.
He's the
man.
Yeah,
he's done the most, and he's got over 50 years worth of stuff to analyze and dissect. So,
it's not just music. I mean, we talk about all aspects of his career, whether it's videos, movies. You know, we've had artwork. We've had musicians on that have worked with McCartney. You know, so we try to cover the whole spectrum. You know,
what was the first time either of you saw him?
It was 93 for me.
93.
And 2002 for me.
Man, you are a newbie.
40-year-old newbie.
Yeah.
1976.
Yeah, you got to see the 76 tour, huh? Yeah.
Well, I was about 15 years old, and I went down to the, I don't know how much you know about Chicago, but the Chicago Stadium.
Tom knows.
It was the stadium, and it wasn't in the best of neighborhoods.
Right.
And here Ray's getting off the L train with about $150 stashed down in his his drawers. I was very nervous.
Right. Let's get more into the self-publishing aspect of it. How many did you put together to start? I mean, did you have a goal of how many you wanted to?
They had different price points. Okay. So I went with the price point that I thought I could afford and to start off without going crazy, because I can always order more.
Right.
So I got 100 hardcover and 150 soft.
Okay.
My judgment now thinks I should have went the other way around because everybody's ordering the hardcovers.
Okay.
So, but I can, if it gets to the point where I sell, you know, I'll have enough to, obviously, to go to New York with. If I sell, again, another 40 copies there, I'll still be fine. I mean, right. You know, I'd have to sell a lot. I think I've only sold about 20 of the hard copies so far.
Okay.
So,
talk about that process. I mean, how long does that, I mean, from start from ordering it to getting it in the mail, you know,
well,
how long did that take?
So if somebody wants to order, do you mean currently right now?
No, say like if somebody wants to do a book like you're doing, like you did a book, right. And you know, with the same route as you
right.
did. I mean, from the time you ordered like those 100 books and the 150 songs, I mean, how long did it take for
well,
to receive
once you
books?
Once you submit your first draft, okay, you got to submit a draft or a proof to them. Mm. They will send you back an electronic, like PDF.
Okay.
You got to okay that PDF and make sure that it's good, blah, blah, blah. If it looks good, they will do a nice high-res paper copy, okay? Mm. Not bound, no cut, no hardcover, anything like that. You just basically get them on paper.
Right.
Okay. With a wraparound test cover, I guess, if you want to call it that. And once you okay that, I took that one and I did all my corrections and did all what I had to do, then you basically say, yes, I want to go. Okay? Mm. That's when you order your copies.
Okay.
All right? So that's when I decided I was going to make this many. You send them half the money down, mm-hmm. and then they come up with a printing schedule. Mm. And it took, I was supposed to have it by the end of December. That didn't happen. They pushed it. Next thing I know, I call them and I'm like, so do I have a date? You know, when you and I first talked, I thought right. I was going to have it like around Christmas time.
Right, right.
So they call me back. They say, well, pandemic's causing problems with this and problems with that and timing. And I said, that's fine. Just let me know. Mm-hmm. So they came back to me, well, probably around first week of February. I'm like, oh, man. You know, I was kind of disappointed. Hmm. Went with that for the longest time, and then all of a sudden I got an email saying, your book is shipped, it'll be there tomorrow. So, you know, just out of the blue. And that was that was around the 25th or so, 26th. And, you know, been great ever since. You know, just trying to get the ones. I had a lot of folks on a spreadsheet already that wanted copies. With their emails, etc., and then as soon as I got them in my hands, I let folks know that I was sending their invoices. Most have been really good with the PayPal. Boom, it's right. in there. I spit out a label and get it in a box, and off it goes. So, I mean, I sit there at my store. I can do that in 5 minutes. It doesn't take long at all. So it's been quick. It's probably faster than if you depended on a regular maybe publishing house, who knows how long it would take to get it, et cetera. I've been sending a media mail, which is about 4 to 5 days, probably.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it gets there okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's been happy. I've been getting great response so far. So.
Right. Right. I want to talk about the cover that you chose for the second. Because
it might be a cause of some controversy.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I was just interested in that because, I mean, I don't know if you need somebody's permission in order to do something like that. You know, what's what was the reasoning behind using this particular image for volume two?
Well, I'll tell you. I wanted one with all four of them on it.
Okay.
First of all, so that was criteria one. I wanted something between 1970 and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I started looking it all through, believe it or not, through all the ads that came out for some of their product during that point in time. That one, not only because it was controversial when it came out.
Right.
Okay. It was the only one that you could actually put the colors in without too much trouble.
Okay.
Meaning that there was either too much going on in like
here, my first one of my first ones. First one I was trying to go with was that one.
Okay.
And it just didn't work. There's just too much going on in it, right?
Right.
Everything else just seems to have way, just like I said, way too much going on. I looked at that one and I said, you know, that one, when it came out, it upset some people. Other people like it. I plopped it on there, and it actually just happened to work out where I could get the text on the bottom down there okay. You know, right. And it's hard when you're trying to do stuff. You're trying to get stuff that will actually right. not fade yeah. in or not, right. you know, the color-wise get involved. Right. Like I said, it just worked out the best at that point.
Right. So this, I mean, I can understand, you know, using it because this is actually an ad right here, which is what the right. book is filled with the ads, you know. But yeah, I mean, this was always been like one of those album covers that you just, ooh. You know, he's kind
so
of
bad that, so bad that Capitol had to redo it in 82 and to put a different
yeah.
cover.
Well,
on.
Right. Yeah, they did. Well, they did redo it to a point when they broke it into those two.
Correct.
Those two.
Right.
I think those covers are crappier, actually.
Right. You know, well, yeah, I don't know, but they, I don't know, they disowned that first one with the Coca-Cola cover.
I don't know. There's my buddy was he was complaining about it. He said it looks like fake. I said that's the whole idea. It was right. like I said, it caused some controversy. But there's other people that like they don't. They love it too, so I don't know. It gets, yeah. I think, it kind of grabs your attention right. a little. I don't know.
Now, I don't right. have well, volume. I don't have volume one, Ray. But just as a side note, I think it's probably in volume one. But right. one of the coolest adverts, kind of in this period, was the celebrating the 10 years on Capitol, 64 to 74. That and they had that big kind of like they had all their kind of where they were in 74. You probably have it in volume one.
No, because I stopped in 1970.
Okay, well, maybe it's I have to, but that 10-year period celebrating the 10 years on Capitol when they kind of showed all the Beatles in 74.
And right,
all that is in here.
Yeah, that's probably one of the coolest campaigns I think I've seen them do because they were celebrating 10 years. There it is. Is that it? There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the coolest ones because it's celebrating.
Yeah, I remember when those came out and they were hanging in the stores.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I gotta get one of those. and I did.
Right. Oh,
sweet.
And then, you know, what I bought when we were first talking, whatever, and you told me about, you know, the first volume and I found it and I was just looking at the cover and I'm like, okay. And then I just didn't realize that's
an ad.
It's an ad.
You
know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny thing is that advertisement, yeah. that's all they had to put. They just put that. I don't think there's anything else on that ad, but that.
Well, then it's with Eleanor Rigby.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, because it's an ad for a Yellow Submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is
yeah. So all they put was the little writing right there.
Right. Right. Right.
So, but yeah, it's like I said, I'm glad I did it. It's been fun.
Right.
At least now I've got something I can say it's mine. I mean, you know. Leave something to the grandkids.
Right. Was it just because of COVID that just gave you the time to just to do, you know, the 50
No,
years?
It was always there. It's just I had a lot of time to get it done. In other words, I was puttering with it. I was getting a little here. I was trying to get ideas on how I was going to lay it out. I was doing a little talking to my friend there, Peter, who's Peter Sims, was a
right.
great help with the British ads.
Right. Because the bulk of it is U.S. ads.
Yes.
For right. both books, right?
And then, you know, then I thought, maybe I should try to put some of the British ones, you know, because they were different than the ones here.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And so I put that, I think I just put that request out there. And right. Peter got a hold of me and said, I got a ton of them. And boy, did he.
Right.
I'd open up my email and have about 20 ads in the email. So he helped out with those, and then I found a source for the Japanese ads. which is only a handful of those, but still kind of interesting looking.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, my whole intention before I did Volume 2 was I wanted to do a Butcher book. I wanted a whole book, just, you believe me, the stories, you know, there's theories, there's stories, there's controversy, there's, I mean, I can tell you a story just the, I know two people I've talked to that actually were involved in the pasting over of the covers.
Wow.
And one was a lady I worked with in the back at Capitol, and then there was another lady I met years down the road who owned a record store in suburban Chicago, and she was a salesperson there at the time. They made the salespeople come out and start gluing. And then it got to the point where it was just too too time-consuming and, you know, costly. They were doing overtime, like 7 days a week, trying to get this done. Dude, and
how many days was it on this? How many days was it actually for sale? For about a week?
Not even, if that.
Yeah.
If that. And then, of course, you didn't get the people that send them back. Well, but there was still a few hundred thousand that were already printed and sitting in boxes, so they had to try to get all those glued up.
Yeah.
Right. That could be a book on its own.
That's what I'm saying. And here's where I got roadblocked, right?
Right.
I started getting all this stuff there. I got hundreds of pictures stored on the computer from those. It's not just them sitting in a chair with the smock. There was two or three big, long photo sessions. Okay?
Right.
And so I got all those pictures together. And then I said, oh, I better get a hold of the Whitaker people. And I found out how.
Yeah.
His son was really nice. He said, that would be a great idea. Here's who you have to talk to. So I sent an email off to this guy. They wanted $2,000 licensing per picture.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah,
never going to happen.
That's right.
Now, they can't do anything about the electronic ones. Mm. You know, that's out there. They're already out there.
Okay.
So, you know, with the ads, I use them as, these are photos of my personal collection.
Right. That's a completely different thing.
They're for historical reasons.
You're setting that up for the public.
They're ads.
A lot of these have already fallen out of the domain anyway, whatever it is, like 40 years.
Public domain, 50 years.
Right. Yeah.
When you're actually dealing with somebody's photography, that's a whole different situation.
Exactly. And as me, I was a professional photographer. I sold a lot of my work for years. And if I found one of mine on a calendar somewhere, I'd be upset.
Right. Right.
Yep. So, I that's where I got roadblocked. I was like, okay, well, I guess this is never going to happen.
Right.
And then I found out that Bruce Spicer has a extensive thing on it on one of his websites.
Okay.
So I just kind of like, all right, maybe one day. Probably not, but maybe one day. But there's just, there's so much about that, just that one record. I mean, people have misconceptions about it. They have their own theories about what did it mean and blah blah blah, and they put this stuff out there without actually doing the research to find out it was all Whitaker's idea. It wasn't them speaking out about Capitol butchering their records, you know, which was the common theory that people thought for years.
But that wasn't the case at all. No,
right. So like I said, with that and all the pictures, you could do a lot on it. But whatever. So after that idea got pushed to the side, I said, well, maybe I better get back to the idea of doing the solo stuff and all the Beatles stuff that's been floating around here. I can't believe it's that long, 50 years.
So what, crazy. You know, a lot of that stuff you said you were finding on eBay, right? Just, you know.
Yeah, well, I was, what also helped was that I was able to find, Billboard magazine on DVD for the last 40 plus years. I think I have them going back to 1955.
Okay.
So I could check what issue I needed. Mm. You know, I'd bring it up, I'd browse through the whole magazine online or on my disc, and then I could go and I look on eBay and try to find those editions and order those editions up.
Right.
So I can have a hard copy on hand. Mm. But, you know, it that was very helpful. So, yeah, that that was a big thing, just trying to get all those together.
What did you, you think
see
of
the,
someone...
You should see the art, or I got them in the art portfolio books, kind of with the big acrylic page or whatever you want to call it. You know, an art portfolio where it's the big zipper all the way around?
Yes, oh yeah.
I have about
four
of those filled up with ads.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on some of the latter day stuff that you, maybe you weren't listening to, you know, but you're finding ads for the particular albums that maybe you hadn't listened to yet or anything like that? I mean, did you
like
go
what?
Back and
give
listen
an
to these, like some of these later day Ringo albums? Have you listened to any of that stuff?
No.
You were putting ads?
I haven't listened to Ringo's. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
You know, Ringo right up to about 1976 and then boom.
Right. Well, that's
sorry, Ringo fans. You know, and that's kind of why I put that. They were not, you know, they weren't making. He wasn't. He barely had a U.S. record contract. He was going to some European label, right?
Yeah.
Boardwalk.
Yeah.
Boardwalk. He was on
Boardwalk. Boardwalk. And then there was He had another one that didn't even get printed here in the U.S.
Wave.
So
Old Wave.
Yeah. So I mean, I love them to death, but it was a little rough there trying to find some of these that would. With some of his later ads, but I got very lucky, and like I said, Peter helped me out with a bunch of them. These are mine. The the Sun Country ads.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, a little tougher later on. I was lucky and found that nice montage.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, that was really cool.
So, you know, you think that he hasn't put a lot of stuff out, then you look at that and go, wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's just, so you know, some people that just, you know, like you said, they stop listening after a certain time and don't realize that that person's been, you know, he's put out more stuff these last 20 years than he did his first, 15 years in the business.
Yeah.
That Russian ad that you showed, that was a nice one. I liked that one.
Yeah.
That's why I went full page with it.
Right,
and
you've even got an ad for Zoom In on here too. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And like I said, I got it about as current as I could get it.
Right.
So McCartney 3, right there at the end, right?
Yeah, right there. Yep. Yep.
Woo!
Taking a full circle. Full circle.
Right.
That Russian album. I got a good story with that too. I worked at a company. I worked with this lady who was obviously Russian. And I say that only because of her accent. So, And she's like, I was telling her about that record. I said, oh, he put one out and it only came out there in Russia. She goes, oh, my daughter lives in Russia. And I said, really? I said, could she send you some? She sent five copies of the very first original print.
Mm,
and I think I have probably two left now.
Ooh.
But, people don't realize how many of those are out there. Look at there was the original Russian. There was multiple issues made after that. Mm. Capitol put out a few different ones, didn't they, if I remember right?
Yeah, well, they dished them out to the fan club, the Club Sandwich fan club. If
then
you were a member of that, then you could get it there, too. But that was before they started producing... more.
Yeah, there's I think the ones I have a full yellow back cover.
Yeah, some of them are different shade, they have different color, shades of color on the album. So yeah, there's different ones out there for the collectors. So, but I mean, is this pretty much a wrap then on this series? I mean, would you go back in 10 years
there's
later?
There's not much more I can do. I mean, you know, the next book would only be that thing.
Right, yeah, exactly. Right.
I mean, you know, I still think there's going to be Beatle product coming out for.
Oh yeah.
Till we're all gone.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, at least maybe not. Maybe just Andy will be still hanging around.
Still be around.
Yeah.
They'll always be product to push. That's for sure.
I'm. You know, what's left in the vaults? Who knows? I mean, it's. I still think that in some form they're going to try to keep putting out some kind of compilations. You know what? I guess it'll be next down the road. What they say is Revolver and Rubber Soul.
Soul. Right. Yeah,
right.
So You know, maybe I'll put out a somewhere down the road an extended version of this.
Right.
You know, Lewison did it. Yeah.
Right.
I go and read the whole book, and then he puts out the extended version. There, that wasn't very nice. It took, well, took me 6 months to read the first one.
Oh, yeah, that was time consuming for sure. But worth every minute, I think. I mean, that tune in.
Oh, yeah, it was a great book.
Yeah.
I'm the kind that I start reading and then about 20 minutes later it's
right.
So that's the reason it took so long.
Right. Anything else you got planned in the works that you want to talk about or
Well, no, I just like I said, I chug along every day with my my store and got some great records in yesterday. It's nice when you get some really good stuff in. I mean, that's kind of like the fun of it. You know, it's like all of a sudden the guy walks in with a big whole thing full of records and you work out a price on things.
Right.
And then you go to check them out thoroughly on the computer. Right. Well, one, yesterday I checked on Discogs, made sure it was like four times I was looking to make sure it was.
Right.
And it was a $1,000 Misfit album.
Oh, wow.
$1,000. And it's in mint condition, I admit. So it's the Beatles stuff keeps me busy, and I'm you know, always looking for, you know, stuff to either put in the store or you know, used product to sell in the store. But then, of course, like I said, I got to keep looking for everybody else too at the same time. So kind of makes it fun.
Gotcha.
But so book wise, you know, I'm gonna go through and do the two Beatle Fest this year. Do April in Newark, and then Chicago. I've been going to that one since I was 18. Not every year, but
close
enough. You know, I go back with the Lapidos folks when I was in Capitol. I called them up and said I got access to like hundreds of posters. I mean, they're gonna throw them away. Do you want them for whatever? Right. So I got them a lot of promotional stuff to do as like giveaways and things like that, you know, kind of door prizes, if you want to call it that.
Right. Okay.
So,
well, let's talk about how people can find the book. And
well, I got a Facebook page, Advertising the Beatles. That's almost the easiest way to do it. It's supposed to be on Amazon this week sometime. Okay. But if you go on Facebook and you put Advertising the Beatles in the it should come right up, and you message me, and I'll have you a book in the mail as soon as the PayPal goes through. I also take other forms of payment, too. I mean, I don't have – having a store, I've got Square, so you just give me the info, plug it in, boom, 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 and it's done. Okay. So it's about as easy as you can get.
All right.
So I was going to set up a website, then I didn't follow through with it. I still might. But I figured this is just about the easiest way. If you don't have Facebook, there is a email address I can give, which is also probably the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, we'll add that to the description as well when we post this episode.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, it's
send that over to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's advertising Beatle, or it's beetleads.com. I don't use it. Oh, Andy, it's the one I probably sent you the information from.
Okay. Well, just then, I'll just use that one.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's see here. My inbox. But yeah, that's probably about the easiest way to do it is just go from there.
Sure.
Yeah, that's the one I sent from you.
Okay.
So it's beetleadvertising@gmail.com.
Okay. Very cool. And then what's the name of your store again? So people, if people are in the area, they come check it out.
Time and Again Records. I also use Time and Again Music and More sometimes on some things because we've really expanded the store from just records. We've got collectibles and antiques and art, my artwork from my photography days. And I called it the most unique record store in Southeast Wisconsin. And I think we're almost there. You can come in and find almost anything. Baseball cards. Yeah, we sold off. We're helping sell off people's collections. So I bought out a wrestling collection from the early 70s. So
oh, wow.
This was quite extensive. It was this guy's, again, lifelong collection. And Crusher and the Bruiser, yes, and all those guys, right, from back, right, then. And then a buddy of mine sold off his lifelong collection of comics and Kiss memorabilia. And we've been busy with that. So I don't do just records. I keep my hands in a little everything.
I might have to give the store a call.
Yeah, anytime.
Some of that Kiss,
absolutely,
junkie. So I'm a Kiss junkie as well. So,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But the books, again, are Advertising the Beatles, Volume 1 and 2. And this has been Ray Zirkle joining us to talk about these. Ray, we really appreciate you stopping by.
No, I appreciate you guys doing this. That's great. I appreciate it. Yep.
Yep. Cool. Andy, anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, thanks for sharing it with us, Ray, and hearing all your stories as a self-publisher. Really appreciate your insights and also your stories about being inside Capitol Records. You don't hear those every single day, especially when you were there.
Seems like a long time ago it actually was.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess I'll see you guys in a month
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, well, hold on one second.
I'll be at the author's table, I guess. Okay. You know how they have those rooms and they have all the authors along the ones? Yeah.
Yep.
And then I got lucky, you know, I guess they're going to let me be on one of the, what do you call it, the author?
Panels.
Panels, yes.
Yeah, very cool. Well, we'll make sure we look out for that as well. So Ray's also going to be at the Fest for Beatle Fans this year at the Jersey and the Chicago.
And Chicago.
Right? Excellent.
Chicago, so I get to at least drive down there every day, and the Jersey one, I got to stay out there.
Right. There you go. There you go. So. But thank you all for joining us. As always, you can find us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Legs Podcast. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. Please check us out on our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast. We're slowly getting to 1,000 subscribers. We want to thank everybody out there that has subscribed to the channel. As we said before, once we hit that 1,000 subscribers, we are going to be running a contest where we'll be giving away the recent Wings Wildlife Half Speed Master and the McCartney Red Vinyl from, I think, 2017.
2017,
yes.
Oh, the McCartney 3?
No, McCartney, the first McCartney record.
The colored vinyl.
Yeah, it's a red vinyl. So be on the lookout for that. And again, thank you, everybody, the newcomers, the old timers, everybody in between that has been following the show for going on 7 years now. It's six years, actually, I think.
How did you guys get together?
Well, I met, I started the show with my cousin at first, and then after 3 years, he departed. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but then I noticed Andy had done a show about McCartney, and I knew he was a McCartney fan, so I messaged him, and, we've been going strong now for 2.5 years now.
Yeah.
Interesting. I think I told you I did that Springsteen.
Right, yeah.
I did a radio show that was at a very small radio station, but the it probably reached 20 feet one way and 20 feet back. It was always a joke who was listening. But
right.
I took those shows home, put them on YouTube with just pictures running behind the audio, and I had people all over the world that was sending me messages. Hey, I'm listening. I'm in Norway. Making cookies, listening to your show, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And you can track, you can look at the statistics of who was listening and where, and it was just totally amazing. The World Wide Web is just something else.
Yeah, it is something else. So that's going to be it for us for this week.
All right.
Next week we'll be chatting about the McCartney Unplugged album.
Good record.
Yeah, it is a great record.
Did I have an ad for that?
I didn't see one at first. I'll have to go back and double check, but it could be in that book. Again, check out Advertising the Beatles by Ray Zirkle, volume 1.
There it is. She's got it.
There it is.
Yay!
There it is. So it's in there. Ray, thank you once again, everybody out there. As always, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.